640 AM WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Yeah. All
right. This show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Haggerty, Buick GMC, Volkswagen of Oaklawn, Illinois, and Carol Ann Gallagher, personal injury attorney at law.
That's right.
My name's Patty Houlihan. I will be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, to my left, twin brother Billy.
Hey,
hi, Bill.
What's going on?
And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay, hi.
Hey.
COVID week four?
Yeah,
COVID
sure.
COVID week four, we say it so casually.
Oh, I know, man. It's so terrible what's going on out there.
It's the
it's Thunderdome.
It is. I mean, but
it is Thunderdome.
It's tumble.
It's tumbleweeds.
Hey, I got laid off.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear
Come on.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily see it coming. Kind of thought that there was an Once we went into the remote, week two of remote work.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not going to work, right?
You know?
And I kind of felt it coming, and then kaboom, it happened.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, there were a few of us that they let go. You know, all the guys that were tenured like under a year. You know,
right.
I'd only been there 9 months, so it didn't sting too hard, you know?
Yeah.
But especially in this time of crisis, it was like, all right, you know?
43 million Americans are in the same boat as
exactly.
Them.
Yeah. So,
they're saying it could hit 25%, which would be Great Depression.
No, it's already there. It's at like 30.
They said like 17%.
Today, it was at 43 million from what I saw, and it was like 31%. They said it was three times as big as the recession. When people filed for unemployment. Now, I don't know what the numbers for the Great Depression are, but...
Well, there's so many... A lot of the facts of what's going on right now are jaded. Nobody really knows what's going on. And the news cycle is too much for me to really follow. I sound like a moron saying that, but it's true. I mean, I've decided to sort of tune out to a certain degree and try to just cope and get through it rather than, you know... hurt myself by putting a bunch of, you know, false prophecies do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just don't want it.
It's circumstances that you had no control over. So there's comfort in that, you know? It's
right,
not like,
yeah.
You know, you broke the printer and you got fired for that.
Yeah, it's not, well, it's not like I got laid off because I broke the printer, you know what I mean? COVID.
It does cope.
Guys are going to be saying that for years, though.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The thing that stinks about it. You know, everybody, like, that'll be an excuse for a decade. You know?
You're basically, yeah.
And why do you have this gap in your work history? COVID, dude.
COVID screwed us all.
Oh, nice try. We've heard that COVID excuse before.
You're living, this is like a war. You're living in wartime. So this is a very weird time. I mean, this is a historic part of American history.
The
here.
Invisible enemy.
It's nuts.
It does. It creeps into your psyche, though, after a while. You know what I mean? You're like, people are like, you know, stay inside. You do have to go outside and get a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, you got to drive, even if you're just driving around the block.
For your mental health. Because I think that's
exactly what, Bill, you're touching on something because I do think that we're going to start seeing that. If this extends much longer, people are going to start to crack up a little bit.
Right. You have to, like, maintain your sanity.
Yeah, I told some of them, like, if they don't get these checks to people, it's going to be a lot of bank robberies.
Well, that's the other thing, you know. At first I was like, who knows about the checks? Then you get laid off and you're like, where's those checks? You know, when's that coming? What date is it going to be released on? How do I get the IRS access to my bank account so they can route it to me?
Trump's going to sign them all.
The IRS is already a big enough, you know, dysfunctional, long, it's not a good agency. The government never is on timing.
They're listening.
I don't care.
Yeah.
They know these things.
Yeah.
They go, yeah, we know. There's nothing you can do when you call them up. I tried calling them up.
Do you know how giant of a logistics operation it is to issue 200 million, 300 million checks to people?
It's nuts.
It's insane.
From an anti-money laundering point of view.
Uh-oh, you sound like Joe Exotic, but we could talk about him later.
You sound like a Southern deputy.
I do, right?
Yeah, keep going.
From an anti-money laundering situation, issuing how many billion checks?
300 million.
300 million to how much money?
A bunch.
A bunch. That's ticking time bomb.
It's going to take a while.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. I'm like, you know, I want to get my money. I want to make sure that it doesn't get somebody else doesn't get it.
Just go to the state unemployment. That's taken care of.
I was kind of then. That's what I was interested about.
Like, and Uncle Donnie will make everything all right.
Well, here's what I was interested about, like those stimulus checks and things.
Uncle Donnie, I got laid off.
Things like that.
I needed some money. A little walking cash.
Why couldn't corporate America?
I gotta hit the casino again.
You should call the White House.
Why couldn't corporate America?
We should call the White House in this show. Is Uncle Don here? Who? My Uncle Don?
I guess not.
This is Rick. Rick Trump?
Bill, I'm sorry. We cut you off entirely.
Sorry, boy. Yeah. I don't even know what I was going to say anymore, so forget it.
Oh!
Yeah, I got COVID out.
Yeah.
No, I was saying is, I wonder why corporate America, you guys were asking about the task at hand of having to do something that big.
Yeah.
Why couldn't corporate America...
Even
if they're laying off employees, and... why couldn't they step up and be like, we'll mail them the stimulus checks and do them through routing numbers, and the government just cuts them one big check? Now we're saving a lot of time.
Why can't all these banks do it?
You know, it's like, hey, there are parts of corporate America that are going to ream and make a ton of money off of this, and then there's other parts that are just going to crumble.
Right.
So my feeling is the government better be aware that some of these big business guys, you guys are going to reap benefits when this is over. Because of the money that just was pumped into the economy, why can't you guys step up to the plate? Because if those who don't want to step up to the plate...
Start stuffing envelopes, boys.
Then we won't be giving you guys any breaks anymore. I don't know.
All you big wigs, start stuffing these envelopes.
Exactly. Start stuffing envelopes, boys.
Don't even put checks. Put cash in. Just ball it up and stuff it in an envelope.
Wouldn't that be a thing?
Slap a sticker on it and send it out.
They
should have John Gruden controlling the mailroom. Send these out right now.
Is that your Gruden? It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It is pretty good.
Come on, we get all these checks to write.
Oh, man. John Gruden, manager of check stuffers. I love it. You're going to be quarterback. You're the tackle.
How many more do we have? 100 million?
Bill, you're right. That would be an interesting play, that if the government could get in bed with big business, they already are.
You know,
why doesn't big business turn around and say, all right,
we got to do our part.
We'll use our software and our logistics to help move this money for you.
I'm sure they will.
I'm sure that's in play, right?
It has to.
I don't know.
I would think so, but right now all I'm hearing is that anybody who would have had to have filed your 2018. That's the other thing.
Bezos could do it. He's got everybody's address.
Here's the other thing. Why couldn't they? I don't know. People could argue this for crazy. You know, I don't know what political spectrum this idea would fall on, but why couldn't you necessarily, the government, go, all right, give us the names and social security numbers of everyone that's worked at all these big businesses, all right? And we can get it. Yes, you know how they're saying, oh, everybody that's going to get their stimulus check has to have had their taxes done by 2018. I got news for you. There's people that couldn't afford to get their taxes done in 2018 that are relying on this money.
Right? Absolutely.
So why can't you just go to these big companies and go, let's get all the Social Security numbers and everyone that received a check from you guys or a W-2, they don't have to have had done their taxes. And then you guys issue them checks, and we'll cut the big checks to you. That would save a ton of time.
Yeah.
A ton of time.
They should cancel taxes this year.
So, I don't know.
Cancel.
Very progressive thoughts, Billy Boy. Very progressive.
Billy on the pulpit.
Billy on the pulpit.
That's my novel I'm writing.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
You got plenty of time over these next 3 weeks.
Takes place in 18th century Denmark.
Billy on the Pulpit during 18th century Denmark by L. Ron Hubbard. Well, we've officially peaked.
Forward by L. Ron Hubbard.
Forward by L. Ron Hubbard.
Junior.
Yeah. You know what L. Ron Hubbard Jr. eats for breakfast every morning?
A glass of oatmeal.
He drinks a glass of McCann's Irish oatmeal. It's a bizarre way to ingest it.
He's a bizarre dude.
McCann's Irish oatmeal, this is best COVID meal you could ever have.
Is there an L. Ron really Hubbard is. Jr.?
What's that?
Is there an L. Ron Hubbard Jr.?
I think there
Jr.?
Was. I think he's anti.
Well, we're going to have
to... Sounds like the name of an NFL football player.
For the Kansas City Chiefs linebacker, L. Ron Hubbard Jr. with the tackle.
McCann's Irish oatmeal... is the sponsor of this show. Yeah. More. Maybe we'll find out if there's an L. Ron Hubbard Jr. after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Thank you. There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for, well, for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal Hooley. Thanks.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Carol Ann Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
This will take all your troubles away.
little COVID music from the Beasties.
Little Beastie Boys, early 90s, late 80s.
Which one is that, Clay?
That's off of Paul's Boutique. I think that's Car Thief.
Car Thief.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not something I recommend.
No. Speaking of which, wow. I'm worried about my car.
Why?
You know? I don't know.
Why?
I just worry about, like, I worry about my car. I worry about my teeth. These are two things that just go back and forth like a metronome in my head.
I noticed
car, tooth.
I was eating something the other day. I noticed a little cold wind go through my tooth and kind of give me a little something. I was like, don't start this.
Well,
I'm definitely going to make a trip to Mudd's when this is done.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the Midwest University Dental
School. There's a lot of candy being consumed. I want to let you guys know something, by the way. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I went into a, and I forgot it at home, so I'll have them for you next week, okay?
Yeah.
But I went into a Meijer and in Bolingbrook.
Nice. They're hiring, by the way.
A lot of grocery chains are, yeah. And I walk in, and they had, I had bought a pair of Champion mesh shorts there. Like
Champion has made earlier. Champion's made a big comeback all of a sudden.
I've always supported Champion.
Yeah. I've always supported Champion. Always.
I even put it on my athletic dogs.
Anyways, I bought them. And
athletic dogs wear Champion. Thank
athletic
you, Clay.
Athletic dogs do wear Champion.
A little throwback to last week's episode. Yeah. You can get that at iTunes, Hooli Shooli Show.
No, so I walked out and I left the like the sensor on it.
Because
I did the self-checkout and didn't realize that it had it on there.
Swarm!
No, I left it. It didn't go off. And then this morning when I went to return it, because I'm like, darn, I wanted to wear them and go play hoops and I couldn't. I was like, damn it.
You still playing COVID hoops?
Played some COVID hoops today.
Not recommended at all. I can't imagine that. Bill gives a very progressive talk at the top of the show and then backs it up with a little COVID hoops.
Billy
stuff.
Throws on his Chinese armadillo's jersey and plays hoops.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what Miss Lightfoot would say about this.
Yeah,
Bill.
She would be mad at you.
I'm not in Chicago. I live in Elmhurst.
She'd hit you with mace. She'd hit you with mace.
No, it was just...
That's next. Now the towns will start fighting with each other. You know?
We just, you know, they do say you can go for a walk, and where we were at, basketball was allowed because the rest of the, like, the playground area, that was all quarantined off. Mm-hmm. So they were pretty much saying, yeah, you can shoot baskets and maintain, you know, your 6 feet
distance. Hold on. I
want to
hear what happened with these shorts.
Anyways, I walk in today... The thing goes off. The lady looks at me. I go, I have a receipt. I bought it last week. You know, she's like, oh, okay, let me take it off for you. And then she goes, I don't know if I must have been wearing it on my face or something. She goes, oh, by the way, we got 53-cent Hershey bars over there. All right? And it wasn't just one Hershey bar. It was a 9-pack.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So you got, no, wait. It was. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I stand corrected. It was a 6-pack, so it was 2 in each row, and you know, about, and I was like, "Oh wow!" And I went up, and I was like, "53 cents."
Oh wow! Hershey bars. Holy shit!
I went 53 cents. She said,
oh,
"Yeah."
Wow!
I bought 7 of them.
Oh okay? Wow!
So I came home with them.
Wow! And, you were like Willy Wonka.
Mary's like, "What the heck, Bill?"
Yeah,
okay,
because
I bought
chocolate.
A huge bag of Skittles the day before. All right. And
coping,
yeah.
I'm doing a lot of candy hoarding right now. There's just like, I bought 3 bags of Reese's Minis, $15 on Reese's Pieces. I spent the other
Bill's
day.
Gonna
like,
be
what
sitting
am I
there,
doing?
He's gonna be sitting there cutting chocolate open, stuffing Skittles in the middle,
ooh,
trying new creations.
Ooh, the Skittle, the Reese's Mini Reese's Skittle. anyways, I get these things and
Reskittles.
I get home, I'm in the kitchen, and Mary's like, what the heck is all this? You know, and I'm like,
that's Hershey bars.
I was like, I don't know. I figured maybe we could, you know, make some s'mores or something.
That's 3
or, you know,
some COVID
did
s'mores.
Did you get graham crackers and marshmallows? No.
No, but Maddox was like, oh, we got to get graham crackers. Right. I was like, we can do that. Mm-hmm. You know? And then she's like, how much were those? And I was like, 53 cents. She goes,
Something's
she
wrong
comes
with
back
her.
To me like 10 minutes later. I'm in the bedroom. She goes, hey. Mm. And I went, what? She goes, there's an expiration date on those Hershey bars to the end of April.
It's in 1978.
You got 30 days then. You're good.
So I was like, 30 days? I was like, okay,
chocolate
that's still a lot of chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm like,
this chocolate's still alive.
I got to bring the boys a box each. And I forgot walking out of the house.
Oh, my goodness.
So next week, you know, if I don't have your Hershey bars.
You're driving home to get them.
If you don't have them, they're going to go off. You know?
They're going to go off.
No, you'd have another 2 weeks after that.
Mail them to me.
Yeah.
Mail you some Hershey bars. Sure.
Yeah, put them, stuff them inside a teddy bear.
Could be a golden ticket in one of them.
Smuggle them to me.
Yeah. That's how everybody gets their money. They get their check and they're like golden stuffed tickets and stuffed in Hershey bars.
Now, I'll tell you
I'm
something.
I'm going to be Willy Wonka.
That ain't a bad ploy right now if I'm a candy company. Hey, let's go back to Willy Wonka. You want to give back to the community? $1 million tickets and candy bars.
Hey, Gruden, can you get these guys to stuff these inside of chocolate bars?
Bill, the problem is you can't go to the store. I mean, it's very restricted to get to the store to buy candy bars. Even the 7-Elevens are starting to close down now.
Bill, you got to
regulate
hours. Yeah, you got to start going direct warehouse.
If you can buy candy online, it's fair play.
Is there a candy warehouse direct?
Online candy?
No, I mean, if you can buy it.
You know any online candy stores where I can get a couple hundred thousand Sour Patch Kids?
You should be getting, you know.
Yeah.
2,000 Hershey bars as
Bill,
an event.
You got to up your candy. You got to be getting like chocolate bars from like Sweden mailed to you.
Maybe.
You got to get luxurious chocolates.
Well, the whole reason we got on this conversation is because you said your teeth were bothered. We went from teeth to candy
because I said muds, and then I was like, oh man, yeah, well, by the way, I bought some Hershey bars today as I was thinking, because I'm feeling one.
Oh, yeah.
The Hershey bars. And I have a crown on the opposite, same tooth, and I'm like,
it's it.
This is how it starts.
That's how it starts.
Yeah. And I'm like, I got to get the muds.
By the time the quarantine's over, you'll both have zero teeth. Zero.
I'm worried about this, Clay. This
zero,
is something that
zero
actually,
hair.
I'm like, how am I going to get to the dentist if this bomb goes off?
Zero teeth and zero hair?
Yeah, you're going
to
be.
Does that mean I have to get a tattoo that says property of Joe Exotic?
Maybe, dude.
I don't know if you've
how
seen
about,
this.
I did see. Clay, have you watched Tiger King?
I have not.
On Netflix yet?
It's all the rage.
I've been deep in the Ozarks the last
I've swam weeks. Through the Ozarks. I'm done with it.
Yeah, me too.
I've got a little Tiger King.
It was wild.
Tiger King in my basement, man. You wouldn't believe this the other day.
Oh,
I'm downstairs, and I'm playing. I've been doing a lot of PlayStation.
Gaming.
A lot of gaming with my son. You know?
We bought an Xbox.
Did you?
Yeah, it's coming in a couple weeks.
So I'm in career mode on Fight Night and, you know, all these games, and I'm probably boxing 10, 20 times a day.
Right.
Yeah. And in any event, Mikey likes to come downstairs and he'll play two, or he has like an Indiana Jones game that he plays.
Uh-huh.
I'm down there. I'm laying on the couch watching him play. My wife comes downstairs with a basket of laundry to do the laundry. The laundry room's right there.
Right. Okay. Right.
Basket of laundry. Do laundry. The laundry room's right there.
Yes. And she's like, it smells like poop down here, you know? And I'm like, oh, you always say that, you know? I'm like, I don't smell anything, you know? But that's because I'm a smoker, you know? I'm like, I don't smell anything.
You got hidden poop.
Yeah. I'm like, what? She's like, it smells like poop. She's like, there's poop down here, you know? And I'm like, no, there's not. And I'm looking around, you know? I'm like, no. Then I move the dryer, and I see right behind the dryer, and right between the dryer and an old pack and play from when the kids were toddlers, like, you know, it's packaged up, is a giant mound of poop.
Oh my gosh.
Human poop. Okay.
Yowzers.
Yeah. With a screwdriver stuck in the middle of it.
It's like a satanic ritual.
This is the best part, dude. This is insane. All right.
Uh-huh.
With chocolate chips on top of it.
Like chocolate chip cookies?
And a marshmallow.
Come on.
I swear to God, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, dude, I know it's Mikey right away, right? Mikey's 5, 4 and a half.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what? You know, like, I'm like, could this be? I'm like, hey, Mike.
Could this be?
You know? She's like, see, I've got a nose for it. I know.
You turned into Sherlock Holmes.
I looked at it and went, this is odd. A screwdriver, some feces, and some chocolate chips.
Could this be?
Could this be?
Uh-huh.
How in the world did it get here? Meanwhile, I look at the culprit sitting there like.
Yep, gaming away.
Yeah, gaming away, acting like nothing's going on. I go, hey, man. He goes, what? I go, did you do that? He goes, no. I go, what is that? He goes, it's dessert. Yeah. He goes, it's dessert. I go, well, who put it there? He goes, hey, we got to talk. You know, I go, why'd you do that? You know, he was like, I had to go. And then I went. And we're like, why didn't you go upstairs? You know? Uh-huh. And he was like, I was in the middle of a game.
Yes.
You know, like, he couldn't get off the game.
Yeah.
So he brought the remote and looked at the TV and squatted in the corner. And then when the game was over, he hit it. All right. And I was like, hey, you pig.
He probably never dropped the controller.
No, but I mean, but I said, this is not, you don't do that. You know, that's crackpot thinking. You know, like, what is that? You know, and he goes, and then I go, so you felt bad about it. obviously, and wanted to hide it.
Why don't you decorate it?
Tell me about the screwdriver and the chocolate chips, man. That's my favorite part.
Tell me about the screwdriver.
Because it did kind of look like art.
Yeah, you know? It was.
I was like, look at that. That's either a big pile of dung or something that's on showcase in Milan.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Well, if Andy Warhol would have done it, it'd be worth $30
million. Picasso's dump.
You know? Ooh. Yeah. Chocolate chips in the screwdriver. The chips represent this, and the screwdriver represents
the pain, the anguish.
Right. So. And his explanation was like, you know, he wanted to disguise it. You know? So he went in to, because I don't think he could, once he did it, he couldn't figure out how to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, and I guess that makes fair sense to a kid who's like 4 and a half.
When he at least he didn't smear it all over something.
Right. I was like, don't do that again, man. But, and then yeah, I had to clean it up, you know.
Yeah, that's I'm what like, parents are there
come
for.
Come on, man.
You know?
You should have blasted Paranoid by Black Sabbath.
While I clean, Mikey, now we listen to Black Sabbath while I clean up your art project.
Yeah. You just go, COVID! Picasso's dumb, but if it was his, it would have sold for $100 million.
Yeah. I read something about Picasso recently that he used to pay people. Mm-hmm. Do you ever go on Quora? I think that's how you pronounce it.
Quora?
It's like a Wikipedia, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's like a question site where then people upvote the best answers. Kind of like a Reddit in many ways.
But, yeah, you're right.
I always get these emails from, you know, and I'll go into Quora and type some goofy questions, and you'll always find an answer or somebody will have a logical answer.
Right.
Anyway, I read the Picasso on one of these. You know, somehow I see this. And the note was that Picasso came back to the town he like grew up in, or when he was a young struggling artist in like his 20s, and this was when he was in like his 60s, and he went back to the town and he saw a transient who he knew that had worked with him at one time and wasn't an apprentice of his but was a contemporary, another artist.
Yep.
He didn't make it. He didn't become the star that Picasso became, and he was destitute and poor, and Picasso saw him. And he said, here, and he had a napkin or a piece of paper, and he drew a drawing real fast and signed it, okay? And he gave it to him, and he said, go buy yourself a house. And the guy did, okay? Because so there was urban legend that Picasso, wherever he went, never used money. He never had to because people cherished his art so much that whenever he would go to eat for dinner, he'd get the bill and on the back of a receipt or a napkin.
He'd draw a turtle on it.
Yeah, he'd do a, you know, here's a picture of poop and Picasso.
It's a picture of my screwdriver dump.
Right, screwdriver poo by Mikey.
Yep.
And hand it to people, and then that became currency worth much more than any, you know, sort of meal or service that was deemed to him.
Yeah, yeah, he took advantage of the ridiculousness.
Yeah. He took advantage of the ridiculousness of life, didn't he?
Here's what I don't understand. What's with the chocolate chips? Because that's usually a thing that a five-year-old would cherish. To sacrifice the chocolate chip, is he felt a lot of guilt then.
I think he thought that, hey, this is brown. It looks like maybe it'll look a little bit like chocolate. A brownie at some point. And if I embed some chocolate chips into it, it'll maybe resemble an old hard brownie.
And maybe Charlotte will find it and eat it.
No,
he
would just go.
Nice brother.
Well, who's going to find a brownie in the basement and go, I'm going to eat this, you know?
He thought you were going to find
a screwdriver in the middle of it.
He thought you were going to find it and just throw it away.
Forgot about the screwdriver.
Sorry. The screwdriver is such a kid thing to do, okay? That's what gave it away. I was like, this is kid work. As soon as Sherlock went, screwdriver in the poo is kid work. This is the work of a child. And it definitely is, because...
Wait, you had to think about who did it?
Well, I remember being a kid.
Let me go through my list of people this could be.
Did you ever go to number two outside as a kid in like an urban area because you're walking down the street with your buddies and there was no... This is pre-cell phones. There's nowhere to go.
Sounds like you have.
Yeah. And you would mark your territory. You'd take a big log and then you'd go put a stick in the middle of it and walk away. You know?
And then three weeks later, when you'd be walking by your buddies, you'd be like, see if it's still there.
Yeah, you'd be like, it's there. There it is. I put the stick in it. It's right there.
That's a weird boy thing, I guess, huh?
It is. Because, Bill, I remember you did, You defecated on the playground at Roosevelt Junior High School when we were in grammar school.
Billy, you can get locked up for that.
I may have.
If you did that in COVID times, you'd be crucified.
I did some pretty dumb stuff as a kid, looking back on it, and I was like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I know.
Very entertaining for the people that were around. They loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, we were laughing.
Yeah. Actually,
yeah, scatological humor will never die.
I actually did have to do it once. This is actually a good story. I hope my mom isn't listening.
Okay? Why?
Because I don't know. Actually, I can laugh about it now.
She already knows the story.
Poop doc.
We were up in
up in the poop doc.
We were in upstate New York, COVID, where my mom's family's from.
Then back to COVID.
And I don't know. I was out with my cousins the night before, and we were walking by my mom's parish growing up in upstate New York.
Oh, yeah. Annunciation, yeah.
It's called Annunciation.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful church, and, you know, they had the rectory next door and everything, but towards the back door of the church, like if you were walking through the park, you had to walk through the parking lot to get to the front of the church normally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
But there was a side entrance, right? And there was like a little, you know, a nook where you could kind of get
a gangway.
Down, a gangway where you could like squat
where
in a corner.
Where you could poop.
Yeah. And I was out with my cousins.
Exactly.
Out with my cousins one night. They took us out. I was probably in like fifth or sixth grade. We were just kind of walking the streets of the town.
It was
whatever.
Like a window well.
Yeah. And I had to go. And they were like, no, man, you got to do it here. Like, so, and I was like, all right,
do it
fine.
On the church.
Then I don't know if we were going to like a campfire or something. I can't remember where we were going, but like,
yeah.
My cousin had toilet paper on him for some reason. All right. And he throws a roll of toilet paper at me. And he's like, go get it done. You know? And I'm like, okay. And you idolize your cousin who's like in ninth grade at the time. And you're like a sixth grader. You're like, all right, fine. So I bomb one.
Yeah. Who was it? Paul?
I think
it was Paul or Mark.
And I bomb one and like, you know, I finish and I leave the junk there. This is on a Saturday evening, all right? Sunday morning, we had to go to church.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah. And he's there with my aunt and uncle and his brothers and sisters. I'm there with my mom, my grandmother. Like we're all getting out of a car walking to church.
Yeah.
And I just remember my mom.
There's your masterpiece.
My mom goes, what pig would do this? Oh, my God. Like that, you know? And little did she know it was her son that had done it probably about 9 hours earlier. And I was
and
like,
now she knows.
Yep. Now she knows. I mean, I think she's probably, I think I did tell her eventually. I was like, oh, I got a funny story to tell you. And she was like, you pig.
Sherlock's poop confessions. Only on Netflix.
Well, now she's going to say two rosaries for you, Billy.
She is.
It's a kid thing to do. It was stupid. But
hey, those are good stories, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Everybody's got a good poo story.
Everyone's got a good stinky poo story.
Sometimes I have to talk about these things.
Mr. President, on a lighter side of things, you got any good poop stories?
Hi, Mr. President. It's me, Johnny Dorito. Fox News. You got a good poop story for us?
Lighten up the country a little bit. Maybe a couple of fart jokes. Pepper it with a poop story.
Listen, I've been eating McDonald's for 30 years.
So
do I have a poop story? Yes. Big ones, huge, giant poop stories. Amazing.
Athletic poops.
Athletic, crazy, insane, gargantuan, marvelous poops. Unprecedented.
The talk of the country, other than COVID, has been this guy, Joe Exotic from the Tiger King.
Yeah, Billy, you're obsessed with him.
You are obsessed, man. We talked about him last week.
We talked about him last week!
Boy.
But we can talk about him again, because I did watch the whole thing, finally.
Yeah, it's like, what the heck? I mean, I like his music.
You do?
Yeah, you know
I
what?
I saw Tiger is pretty darn good.
First of all, let's just...
Let me tell you something about his music. I do know this.
Yeah. But
he didn't sing any of those songs.
That wasn't
he
him
didn't?
Singing? I thought no. It was all Joe Exotic.
He pulled a Milli Vanilli.
Really?
Yeah. It was another band, and that guy has since died. The singer who sung all the...
But all the lyrics are directed towards things that were going on in Joe Exotic's life, so does...
He paid him to do it.
Oh, man. Maybe. I don't know. But come I saw on, a tiger
is,
and here
we're
Kitty,
talking about
Kitty,
a tiger
and...
trainer here.
So I've seen Clay. I don't because you haven't watched it.
I know. I get the gist of it.
All right. Well, yes. There's a new investigation into Carol Baskin's husband's disappearance. The fact that we know who these people are is nuts. All right.
Well, there's
that
like
it trended
all kind of,
that fast.
It did.
I mean, it was a saga. It was like 7 episodes long, and the whole country is
and it's
wrapped
basically
up in
just
this.
A long Dateline.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a but
it's the guy has tigers, so he's unique.
Well, it's very well done.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Chris Smith, and, he's a pretty good
yeah,
documentary.
For sure. And what I wanted to say about all of the people involved is don't make a hero out of Joe Exotic. You know, like,
right.
Sure, there's a kind of an
you already did that ignorant, with Stephen Avery
sweet side to him. You know, but he's a psychopath.
All right? No question about it. Yeah,
nobody cares about Stephen Avery anymore, huh?
Making of a murderer. Yeah, these are all, and it's I'm wondering if a show like this, if we weren't in the middle of this pandemic, if it would have trended as fast. Probably not. Right?
Yeah.
Because everyone's looking for recommendations. Something that is so far removed from this world. Only something like that is really resonating with everybody because they just can't wrap their head around the idea of living with tigers. Right?
No. They should listen to this show if they want weird and wild stuff.
Absolutely.
You don't need tigers.
Y'all don't need tigers. You need Hooli's Hooli. And there's, the Carol Baskin character. Carol Baskin!
Yeah, it's just fun to do your Joe Exotic imitation.
Yeah, where does this all take place? Florida?
Oklahoma, I believe.
Well, he's in Oklahoma. She might be in Florida.
She's in Florida. I think he's in Oklahoma.
And then there's a guy named Doc Antheil.
Doc Antheil's in Florida.
That's a nice name.
There's a picture of Doc Antheil with Britney Spears.
Ooh.
That was trending. I was
hey.
It was on Barstool Sports.
That can complicate
Spears
things.
Spears has a connection to both of these people, like Carol Baskin and what's his name? Doc Antheil?
Doc Antheil.
Doc Antheil's the guy who recruits the young girls who are enamored with tigers and then treats them like, you know, he's got like nine wives.
He's a polygamist.
He looks like an old porn director. He's a tiger master. You know, which he could be both. Who knows?
Then there's Doc Antheil's buddy that's like the old cocaine cowboy who,
right.
You know, he got into the tiger business.
Jeez, well, this sounds...
It's nuts, Clay. You got to check it out. But,
it's nice to know that these people exist.
Getting back to Spears.
Yeah, Britt.
There's a picture of Britney at like the VMAs from like 2002 or 2003. Sitting and Carol Baskin is sitting next to her, right?
Wow. Really?
And then there's a picture of Spears next to Doc Antheil in some, at some event. Uh-huh. And it turns out that she used his tigers for the I'm a Slave for You video.
Oh.
And so these people
got deep ties.
Have pimped out their animals to Spears and lots of Hollywood productions. So anyway, there's all these... All these comments on Barstool, and the top comment and the most likes is like some guy, I forget his name, but it says, "This just reminds me of what an absolute rocket Spears was in 2004. And there's like 40,000 likes of dudes that are just like loving Spears.
Yeah. Spears hit the scene hard, man.
Yeah, she did. There's a whole thing about...
She was a nuclear bomb when you saw her face for the first time.
There's a lot... When you first saw Spears, oh my gosh. I had to call Sherlock Poop, you know what I mean?
I had to poop out of church when I saw her face.
I got so excited I pooped outside church. First time I saw Spears.
That's right.
First time I saw Spears. When is the first time? sir, I'm not sure if you have the coronavirus. Let me ask you a couple of preliminary questions. First time you saw Spears. Have you had any headache lately? First time you saw Spears.
That Rolling Stones cover.
Right.
That drove the world wild.
What? Spears did a Rolling Cones? Rolling Cones.
She did a Rolling Cones cover. Yeah, she was like, you know, Catholic school girl.
Oh, okay. Sure. That was the big video.
That was the big thing.
Hit me, baby, one more time. Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's a conspiracy theory that Spears' father is kind of running the whole show and, like, keeps her at bay. She truly is like a slave in many ways right now. But she's apparently given...
We've talked about this before. We don't need to
do that. I'm worried about her.
What do you think she's doing right now?
During this COVID.
What do you think she's doing right now?
I don't know.
She's putting butter on a... Pop-Tart.
She's sending a hate text.
She's watching Tiger King.
Yeah.
She's probably watching Tiger King, you know?
She's probably writing a ballad.
What's Federline doing, you know?
Federline?
Yeah, what's he doing COVID?
He's probably buying some Champion mesh shorts somewhere.
Some Federlines? I thought, didn't we talk about a Federline?
Did he have his own shoes?
No, I think we made...
K-Feds?
The Federlines, yeah, those are awesome.
I think we did make a few jokes about some Federlines in the past, but I can't remember. Might have to...
Yeah, go back
for our radio
listen.
Listeners, Kevin Federline was the husband of Britney Spears.
For 30 days.
Yeah. For 30 days.
He had cornrows.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
So do we have any good Britney Spears? Let's play some Spears. Ooh, it's Slave for you. We'll be back after these.
Just listen. All you people look at me like I'm a little girl. Well, did you ever think it'd be okay for me to step into this world? Always saying, little girl, don't step into the club. Well, I'm just trying to find out why, 'cause dancing's what I love. Oh, yeah. See this guy, what's practical, what's logical, what the hell, who cares? All I know is I'm so happy when you're dancing there. I'm a slave for you. I cannot hold it, I cannot control you. I'm a slave for you. I won't deny it, I'm not trying to hide it.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carolan Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero, and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Hooli's Hooli Coronavirus Episode 4 returns.
Poop and spears.
Yeah, we played a little Britney before the break.
Sure.
Can't go wrong with a little Britney.
I hope she's doing fine during all this.
Me too. I hope her dad is giving her the proper rations.
Yeah. Yep.
Uh-huh.
What a world.
What a world indeed. Bill, any news on the liquor front? People are still drinking.
They're still drinking.
Yeah, it's flying off the shelves.
The on-premise rest, you know, those people are severely being hurt.
People are ordering liquor like to go now. They're like you can call a bar and they'll make you like a pitcher of margaritas to go.
Yeah.
That's like something that's actually been like okayed by the state.
Yes. you know, just try to keep the doors open for a lot of these guys. I mean, they can't, there's so many of them that can't survive, you know, they go from, and you and I both know this from working in the service industry, it's such a grind to be an owner.
Yeah.
And you go from, you know, you have a great month, then you have an awful month,
mm-hmm.
you know, or an awful 2 months, you know, and then you have like, you might have 3 great months and 4 really bad ones. And that's how your year balances out. And you just kind of look for the trends in it after you've been doing it as an owner for so long.
Yep.
But for a lot of these guys that have been in business a long time, that's how they've done it. And they've, you know, strategized as far as how they were going to do different promotions and what they were going to put on special and how they purchased their alcohol. I mean, they can't do that right now, and it's going to screw up everything for them, even going forward, because they don't even, they can't even speculate.
They don't have the metrics.
It's like, for everyone, it's like opening up your doors, when this is over, it's going to be like opening up your doors again, it's going to be like a grand opening for a restaurant again, because there's no way of ever knowing what your numbers are going to be like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Right.
So, yes, there is a lot of scare as far as people that were in my business that sell liquor to those guys, because a lot of these guys aren't buying. They're not going to buy anything right now.
No.
But the corporate chain side of my business, that's booming. And that's what's going to carry carry us through this.
Well, that's why small businesses need this money and these loans that can be forgivable to get it ramped again, you know?
Yeah.
Start stuffing envelopes, Donnie.
There you go.
Let's go.
Yeah. Right?
Pants, you too.
Yep.
Oh, you guys.
So that's kind of what's going on with us. I'm still getting out there and helping people about, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of my buddies that are working corporate chains, and that's where I started within the company. And it's where probably I built a lot of my strongest relationships with those guys. And it's terrible to think that, you know, because the demand is so high in some of those stores, the labor is so intensive.
Right.
It's impossible. And you're thinking, these guys are going out there and they're risking getting this to get this to the shelves for everyone, and then you're burying them with labor. I just couldn't sit at home and not go out and help those guys. So
right.
That's what I've been doing.
Well, good for you, Bill.
Yeah.
It's a twilight zone out there.
And there's a lot of people doing that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of good going on in the world, for
there
sure.
There is.
Yeah.
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 People are stepping up.
But we are starting, you know.
Have you done anything? Have you built anything? Have you used this time to do anything weird?
Well, I'm going to start pouring into a lot of our old content and trying to repurpose it and market the show to a larger audience, obviously.
We're going to blow up.
Yeah, people want to hear, you know, stories
they
about poop and
talk,
Spears.
Southern accents. Sure.
Nobody ever went broke talking about poop and Spears. Nobody. Ain't nobody I know.
Nope.
So that's basically the goal.
Yeah.
You know, I said that as I was getting laid off. I said, no worries.
Poop and Spears will save me.
Poop and Spears will save me. You have a wonderful life. Thanks for the employment. You know, one thing that you start to see during times like these, that there's a lot of celebrities all of a sudden on TV saying, hi, stay in your house.
Yeah. You know? You'll listen to me.
Right. You know, and it's like, no, I don't want to see, you know, who knows? I mean, who?
I don't want to see Helen Hunt telling me to stay inside.
Well, it's like Matt Damon telling me to stay inside. Yeah. It's like, shut up, dude.
Damon, come over here. I'll slap you right in the face.
So I go, yeah, I wouldn't mind staying inside your house. Probably got a basketball court, a swimming
pool,
a bowling
alley. Probably got a nice
bathtub.
You got enough stuff
to do in your place to entertain you for months.
Well, was he in Contagion, the movie? Have you watched it?
Yes, he was. Yeah. I saw that trailer. It's pretty accurate.
Yeah. It's not as good as Wesley McLaren.
No, that's unbelievable. You know,
Steven Seagal was Wesley McLaren.
And the Patriot.
No, nowhere near that. but the celebrity thing, I guess it comes down to like...
It's annoying.
It's like, we don't want to hear from celebrities.
Yeah, make me
right
laugh.
Now.
Start
you know?
There.
I mean, do we? You know,
no. Do I want Bon Jovi singing me a song about Corona?
But like, even the car commercials and the truck commercials, like
it's
everything
all
is all... Like, I'm just amazed at the speed that
they
production was able to be churned out. You know, like, we got a Corona, we got a pandemic car commercial in the hopper. We're ready, you know?
They need the money.
So...
They're tugging at your heartstrings, Pat.
Right, it's like, the all Toyota cares about you and your... You know, it's like,
they
want to
give
you
a $30,000 truck.
I want to get you into some auto slavery.
They want to give you a...
No APR, free this for 18 months. You know, 6 years later, they're repoing the car.
No,
you know,
at the end of the day, it's...
With your Spears album in it, and you're crying.
Because your Spear CD's in the right. player?
And you're going,
just
corona.
Let me get my Spear CD out of the player.
Stop, stop. Please let me get my Spear CD before you take my car.
Before you take my Tacoma.
Don't take my Tacoma. Can I have my Spear CD before you repo my Tacoma?
Got my Spear CD and my bong in there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the world we live in.
That's going to be the fallout of a lot of this stuff. Like, there's no such thing as free money.
Give me a free car.
You want free nothing.
Hey, Toyota, yeah. You want me to love you? Give me a free car.
Well, that's what worries me. Everyone's like, oh, well, I'll just go on the dole now. And we're like, it doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. All right?
No.
So that's where I'm suspect. I'm like, I want to see this money hit, you know? And then I'll believe it. And there's going to be a lot of mix-ups, believe me, on that. You know, if we can't get masks and things like that to people and ventilators, you think we're going to get our money on time?
No.
I doubt it highly. Yeah. But I hope, you know, I'm proven wrong. So
rob a bank. You can wear a mask now and it doesn't look weird.
Yeah, okay. Clay, the FBI just downloaded the program for your wise words.
Just kidding.
I wonder if that's probably got to be a thing. Like, is there a lot of theft going on? I would wonder.
Bill, I did see a report. Domestic violence is up. You were correct.
I figured it would be because there's no escape.
There's no escape. And that's really sad, actually. Everyone be nice, all right?
Yeah. I mean, if your wife is driving you nuts, just go and lock yourself in a room for an hour.
Yeah, put on Huey Lewis, relax, dance.
Yeah, throw on Working for a Living by Huey Lewis.
Put on
Watch everyone get really mad.
Eat acid.
Yeah. That's interesting.
My wife was yelling at me during Corona, so I went and ate some acid in the other room.
Put on some Huey Lewis.
Put on some Huey Lewis.
I was in there for 9 hours.
I listened to Huey Lewis Sports for 9 hours.
Yeah. I ate some acid. I thought it was Huey Lewis Sports, but it was actually Spears. Well, we're at the end. Thank you for the note, Bill. Thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
If you've enjoyed the past hour of this nutty little show, you can find archived episodes if you go to hibernianradio.org, or you can search for us at iTunes if you go to Hooli's Hooli Show.
Yeah.
The show is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. It's the greatest in the world. Go get yourself some. Order some online. Yes. Instacart, whatever you got to do. Mike Haggerty Buick GMC Volkswagen of Oakland, Illinois.
Get one of those dropped off of your house.
Well, at least they'll have a very fair conversation with you. Yeah. God bless them.
Go to MikeHaggerty.com.
There you go.
You're good.
If you're in trouble and you have some health issues and something doesn't go your way and you need some legal representation, you can go to Carol Ann Gallagher, personal injury attorney at law.
That's right.
Until next week.
See ya.
At least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living, working for a living, working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living. Hey, I'm not complaining, cause I really need to work, but hitting up my buddies. Feeling like a jerk. $100 car note, $200 red. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living, working, working for a living, working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living. Oh.